Open with me to Proverbs. We are in the midst of the Old Testament and overview. We're going through the entire Old Testament, one book a week, and that is a feat sometimes. I had 150 chapters of Psalms to go through, so it's definitely an overview for sure. And that's what we're going to do today with the Proverbs, as we take this in as the next book that we are looking to. The Proverbs. This is Mother's Day, so it's very appropriate that we are in the book of Proverbs and that we're going to end in Proverb 31, which tells us all about a virtuous woman, this mother who was full of virtue. So what is a proverb? I think very simply we could say that a proverb is a wise saying. If we define proverb from the Latin, we come to the definition that proverb means instead of many words, sort of like what you hope my sermon will be this morning. You can laugh. I mean, we're in church, but that's the truth. We don't want it to go for too awful long, do we? Now, when I'm preaching, I don't mind many words, but when I'm listening to somebody else preach, I'm just like watching my watch. Come on, man, hurry up. So what are proverbs then from the Latin? They are brief statements of wisdom instead of many words. This is Mother's Day. You guys know. Instead of many words sometimes, in mother's wisdom, she corrects you simply with the look. She gives you the look. My mother was here at our early service, and I just didn't even look at her. I knew better. At any point during the sermon, I didn't look at her. In the Hebrew, the word proverb means a comparison, which are what we find in most of the verses here, this comparison of wisdom and the lack of wisdom. And you can call lack of wisdom a lot of things. You can call it ignorance. I mean, a lot of times I find myself just in ignorance because I don't know yet, because I haven't considered what is written here or the wisdom that comes with age or the wisdom that comes with you telling me about something you don't know, that you know that I don't know about. You could also call the lack of wisdom folly or sin. I know, but I choose not to. I would rather do that which I know is not best to do instead of that which I've been told is best to do. And that's what we get from the Hebrew. Now, before we get into the Proverbs, I want to give you some statements of understanding. The Proverbs are not promises in every given situation. Now, certainly, there's a great account of all wisdom for all of life in these 31 chapters full of Proverbs, many of them 20, 30 verses apiece. But the Proverbs are not promises in every given situation. These are statements of wisdom for most situations. The other thing I want you to see this morning is that the Proverbs require the use of your common sense. Anybody else like me, you've had someone in your life say, man, you need a little more common sense. Yeah. See, we would even raise our hand in church and admit that, so we really do need more common sense, don't we? But we'll start a club, you and I together, right? But these require the use of your common sense. Also, the Proverbs are ultimately true at some point in your life or in eternity, even if the Proverbs are not immediately true. A lot of parents, this is a good day for me to mention this, a lot of parents cling to the proverb that says, train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old he will not depart from it. Parents have to trust that that's not necessarily an immediate proverb, but it is ultimately true, because whether we like it or not, we all become like our parents in the end. Have you guys seen this commercial on TV? It's the dad support group. It's these guys sitting around in a circle, and they all kind of are the typical dad stuff, you know. It's like, why is the door open? Are we trying to cool the whole neighborhood? You know, they said I shouldn't wear this hat. Why wouldn't I wear it? It was free, you know. Typical dad stuff. I used to make fun of my dad for these things. We've got pictures from family vacation when I was a kid, and my dad's got on these bright orange shorts and very, very white legs because he never wore shorts except when we were on vacation. 1 week a year he'd wear these shorts, and then he's got Kool-Aid. Do y'all know what Kool-Aid socks are? Some of y'all think they're cool, but they're not. They might have been at some point, but there were these white socks that pulled up almost to your knee, and they would have two bands of color around them, like two red bands of color or two blue bands of color. Check your socks this morning, some of you guys in here. See what you got. I'm not making fun of you. So my dad would have these orange shorts on, ghost white legs, Kool-Aid socks pulled up to his knees, $10 glasses from Walmart that didn't, they were never in style, never going to be in style, and we were, you know, we were at the beach or wherever it was we were. And I said, I'm never going to become this man. I have become this man. It's just kind of disappointing, just to be honest with you. But so that's not an immediate proverb, but ultimately it is true, and hopefully in better ways than what I just explained to you. Train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. So use your common sense with the Proverbs. Realize that they're ultimately true, even if not immediately. And then I want you to understand that the Proverbs are biblical wisdom. They are entirely religious. This is not secular wisdom. This is not applicable to those who are outside the church. I mean, some things in here are, but then you're only doing these things unto good works. The point of the Proverbs are not to make you moral people. The point of the Proverbs is to make you godly people, to make you more like Christ, and certainly they will do that. But if you're unsaved today, the first step for you is not to read the Proverbs and start obeying what they say. The first step is to take your faith out of yourself or anything else, put it fully in Christ. And then when your faith is in Christ, then begin living by the Proverbs. Well, there are 31 of them. That works very well in a calendar. So if you're not sure what to do with the Proverbs in your Bible reading, take one a day, whatever day of the week, month it is. What's today's date? The 14th? 15th? What's today? Oh, yeah, I'm way off here. Preachers only keep up with 2 days a week, you know, Wednesdays and Sundays. If I can get that down, I've got it made. You go to Proverb 13 on the 13th and read the 13th Proverb. So tomorrow you would read the 14th. If you get sick or you forget the next day, just skip that one. You'll get it next month. You read one a day like that for the month. It works out very, very well. The first 9 chapters in the Proverbs explain why wisdom is so valuable. This is sort of a, hey, here's why you need this. Chapters 10 through 15 then give us one wise saying after another that form a contrast. Every single verse in those chapters give a contrast between wisdom and ignorance. So here's the wise way to go, here's the ignorant way to go. Here's the wise way to go, here's the folly or sinful way to go. And then chapters 16 through 31 take this is why you need wisdom. Here's the contrast of wisdom from those first 15 chapters. And the rest of the book gives you this practical use of the wisdom that you have. And that's where we want to end today as we end in Proverbs 31 and see just the practical wisdom of this virtuous woman. So let's start with chapters 1 through 9 and consider the purpose of wisdom. So if you'll open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 1, we see that chapter 1 begins with a call to wisdom. And it is a call to wisdom that is very specific. It is a call to wisdom for your salvation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll read together. Father, thank you so much that we can gather here today to celebrate Mother's Day. Lord, I thank you that there are some good godly mothers who what they wanted to do today was to come to church, and they wanted their families to be around them in the church. So as we are gathered here now with your word in our hands, Lord, we look to you to guide us and to help us. Lord, for those who are here who are unsaved, I pray that the glorious light of salvation would come into their lives today. Lord, save them by grace through faith, not of works. Lord, I pray for those of us here today who consider ourselves saved folks, Christians, that we would see the value of the wisdom that is in the Proverbs. Lord, and in the entirety of the Old Testament, help us to see that the overarching theme is that of redemption. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's look to the Word together. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So as the book begins, we are introduced to the author, which is King Solomon, certainly a wise man, certainly a man gifted with wisdom from God. We learn that from the history of his life. Certainly a man gifted with wisdom from experience. He goes on in the book of Ecclesiastes, which is the next book for us, and says, I've lived and seen and tried and done everything, and I've found out that everything on this earth is vanity. It's all vain. But he has all of this wisdom that he's gathered from that, and he compiles it together, and he has given it to his son, and then generations have passed it down, inspired by God. In verse number 2, 3, and 4, we're given the purpose. Why did he put all this together? Notice verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And then in verse number 22, he lays out exactly who is being called to this wisdom. He says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So we have three characters here that the writer of the Proverbs says this is who it is for. It's for the simple, it is for the scorners, and it is for the fool. This is sort of the cast of the story here this morning. Verse number 23, he begins to tell what it is wise for these three to do. And by the way, don't exclude yourself from those three. At some point in our life, at least in our past, maybe in our future, maybe where we sit right now, we have or will or might be one of those three, a simple or a scorner or a fool. So what does he say to us then? Now, verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words to you. This is a call to wisdom, not just to be wise. This is a call to wisdom for salvation. The wisdom of the Word of God will bring us to salvation. What does he tell them to do in verse 23? Turn you at my reproof. We are saved by grace through faith. It is faith alone in Christ alone. But to be saved takes faith, and that faith is exercised when we turn from faith in me. Most people who are unsaved, if you're unsaved here today, it's typically because you can only trust in you. You can't trust in that person sitting in the pew next to you more than you trust in yourself. You can't trust your job more than you can trust yourself. You can't trust your friends more than you trust yourself. And you are so independent and trustworthy upon yourself that you cannot seem to bring yourself to the place of saying, I'm trusting only in God for my eternal state and my life now. What is the wisdom of Solomon? What did he say to his son? What did he say to the simple and the scorner and the fool? Turn you at my reproof. Here comes 31 chapters of reproof, and the initial point for all of this is that you would turn. What do we say in the church? Repent. Change. Be different than you are right now. And what comes behind that? Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. So God says turn. And what comes in replacement of that? The Holy Spirit of God will indwell you. And one more thing, I will make known my words to you. You'll have God's spirit and you'll have God's word as your guide. So then we continue on in the Proverbs, God's word for our God. Notice verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Isn't that what we want? We want to be away from the fear of evil. How do we do that? Turning toward God, away from ourselves. So we begin with a call to wisdom for salvation. Chapter 2, 3, and 4 then show us the path of wisdom. And it's a path to righteousness and to safety. In chapter 2, wisdom protects our paths. In chapter number 3, wisdom directs our paths. In chapter number 4, wisdom perfects our paths. Let me show you this in the Word. I hope you have a Bible in your hand. Proverbs chapter number 2, verse 7 and 8. Wisdom protects our path. Notice what it said here. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Notice verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. Do you guys ever feel like you're on the brink? Like you're on the edge, you're at the end, you know, you don't know at all if you're going to be protected. Well, this is what the Bible says to us in verse number 10. When wisdom enters in your heart, when knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, then discretion will keep you, it will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, not your own understanding, not secular understanding, not humanistic understanding, but understanding of the Word of God. Chapter 3, wisdom directs our paths. Very familiar verses, verse 5 and 6, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Very popular, but most popular in the Proverbs, probably some of the most popular verses in all of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I want to know God's will. I want to know what direction I should take in my life. Well, it's a little more simple than we want to make it out to be, and I hope you see a recurring theme here already in the Proverbs. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your own limited experience. Trust in the Lord, and He shall direct thy paths. And then in chapter number 4, wisdom perfects our paths. Look at chapter 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Now, you've all heard that proverb. You just heard it from different lips, and you heard it in a different way. You heard some adult say to you at some point in your life, you need to stay away from them, those people. They are not good friends for you. Amen? I think we all heard that. You know, it's the old, if that group of kids was going to go jump off a bridge, would you jump off too? So I grew up on a lake. Y'all probably heard of Lake Sidney Lanier. And it was a great big lake in Gainesville, Georgia, where we lived. We called it Lake Lanier. And we did a lot of bridge jumping. All my friends jumped off bridges. It was fun. We'd jump off in there, and we'd swim, and we'd climb back out, and we'd swim again. So my mother couldn't use that one. If she was to say, if you were going to jump off a bridge with your friend, if your friend jumped off a bridge, would you jump in too? Yes, I would. It's fun, Mom. But the idea here is simple. Don't enter into the path of the wicked. Don't go the way of evil men. Why don't we go the way of the wicked or the evil men? Because we'll end up doing like they do. You consider yourself a good person. That's fine. But if you go the path of evil versus going on the path of wisdom, you're not going to be a good person. You're going to do some bad things. Verse 15 goes on with the warning. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. It's saying the same thing over and over and over again with a different intensity. Avoid it. Just completely don't go over there. Pass not by it. Don't go by it because it'll tempt you. It'll be there for you. Turn away from it. Go a different way. Pass away. Verse 16, for they sleep not, except they've done mischief. That helps you define very easily who verse 14 is talking about. Who are the wicked? Who are the evil men? It is these who cannot rest until they have done some mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of the wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. While wisdom calls and leads on a good way, there's also a way of ignorance. The avoidance of wisdom. The way of folly, the way of sin. This is chapter 5, 6, and 7. So the first four chapters are a call to wisdom for salvation, to the path of wisdom and what it brings to us. But then in chapter number 5, we see the potential for condemnation. In chapter number 6, we see the potential of poverty. In chapter number 7, we see the potential of death. Three things that none of us want. So the idea gets painted to us very clearly. Follow wisdom, and here's where you will find yourself. You'll be in wisdom. But if you don't, if you take the path of ignorance or foolishness or folly or sin, then you have the potential for condemnation, poverty, and death. See this with me in chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Y'all remember the old guy on TV who used to say, the devil made me do it? You ever been to court or watched court on TV? Not Judge Judy, but like real court. Oh, it is real court. I'm sorry. I offended some of you. It's always somebody else's fault. That's not what the proverb says. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. It's your fault. Even if it was because you were with the wrong people, you made the decision to go with those wrong people, and you've been given the advice to stay away from those people. You're to blame. None of us are with excuse. We are all without excuse. Romans chapter 1 is clear on that. He shall behold him with the cords of his sin. Verse 23, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. So the potential of condemnation. Chapter 6 gives us the potential of poverty. Look at verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou art stricken with thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, and art taken with the words of thy mouth. What does that mean? That is very applicable in a lot of different ways, but one thing for sure that is saying, if you co-sign on some debt with your friend, you are snared. A friend in need is a friend indeed. Isn't that the truth? But once they've got the money, you're left holding the bag and the debt. Certainly that is the case. Wisdom will direct our path toward true wealth. And I'm not talking about money, by the way. But ignorance of wisdom, ignoring wisdom, will lead to the potential of poverty. Notice verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Thy poverty shall come as one that traveleth. Now, I read that at first, and I thought, no, I think of people who travel a lot as wealthy and living life, you know. But then I got to thinking about the first time I took my family on a vacation. When it was just Shanae and I didn't come home quite so broke. But then there was Jack and Henry, and I come home a little more broke. And now there's Jack and Henry and Thomas and Parker, and I come home all the way broke. I have a hard time saying no. And the boys say, Dad, can we do this? And whether I want to pay for doing that or not, I probably want to do it too. You know, all these vacation towns have go-karts. And there's not a grown man in this place who doesn't like to drive a go-kart. You might say you don't, but there's just something about it. You get on that thing and you want to bang somebody into a wall and you want to beat them to the finish line. And when the boys say, Dad, can we ride the go-karts? And Mom says, we really don't have that in the budget. I say, well, it'll be all right. And then there's usually that Thursday. We get home from vacation, and Dad closes himself up in his office for a little while. And he comes out with a sheet of paper and sweat running down, and some veins have popped. And Mom says, what's the damage? And I say, we shouldn't have went traveling. It's rough. The Bible says that when you don't follow the path of wisdom, you have the potential for poverty like those who travel. Adults, do you miss when you used to travel with your parents? When you were the one saying, Dad, can we ride the go-karts? Can we go eat at whatever place it is? You didn't have to pay for that. You just knew what you wanted to do, and you're real happy when they took you there. We understand now that it's a little bit different than that. In chapter number 7, we have the potential of death. Look at chapter 7, verse 22. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of his stocks. Now the her there, the pronoun, is interesting here in chapter 7. If you go home and read it, you get a very good explanation of specifically what is being talked about here. But I didn't read that, one, because we're in mixed company, and two, because I think the her here can be universally applied. Whatever it is in your life that you're following instead of wisdom, I think we're okay to do that. When you follow anything but the path of wisdom, then it says you go after that as an ox to the slaughter or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till when? Verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. So the avoidance of wisdom is the potential of death, the potential of poverty, the potential of condemnation. But I stopped right there and said, everybody pick. Well, you'd pick the path of wisdom. You wouldn't pick the path of ignorance. But it goes on. This section of 9 chapters ends with 2 additional calls to wisdom. In chapter 8, we have the wealth that wisdom leads to. Hey, there, that got everyone's attention. You didn't know I was one of those health and wealth preachers, but here we go. Not really. It's true wealth. Look at chapter 8, verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. This is lasting wealth. The king here says to his son and to us, now, the instruction that I'm giving you in wisdom is better than silver or gold. Verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. You know the old saying, money can't buy you happiness. Every time somebody says that to me, I say, give me some of yours and let me try. Money can't buy you happiness, but it can get you pulled pork, and pulled pork makes me happy. Amen. Any guys here who forgot to get a Mother's Day gift, don't raise your hand to that one. Here's your verse, guys. I'm going to get you forgiven here. Honey, I'm going to give you some wisdom, because wisdom is better than rubies. Yeah, ladies, you can say whoa there if you need to. Yeah. No, true wealth is the wealth that wisdom leads to. Look at verse 18. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Don't you want durable riches in this life? Stock market comes and goes. The value of the dollar comes and goes. The value of gold comes and goes. The price of your land comes and goes. Your value in the job marketplace comes and goes. None of that is durable. But wisdom and understanding, biblical wisdom and understanding, is a durable rich. What a wonderful thought. Verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. So, wisdom that leads to wealth, true wealth. Chapter 9, then, tells of wisdom leads to life. Notice just verse 11 of chapter 9. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. How? Through wisdom. You know the old saying, this is not biblical wisdom. Early to bed, early to rise makes one healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? I don't know. I don't like to get up early, so I don't know if that's the case. But here's biblical wisdom on that. Yeah, we know. You want to live a long time. Eat right, exercise, go to the doctor, right? I mean, we need to do all those things. I'm not telling you that you're not. But I promise you this, health care is not the solution to your long life. But I trust God's word that says that wisdom, biblical wisdom, will increase your days. Certainly that's the truth. You remember those three characters we introduced you to in chapter number one? The fool, the scorner, and the simple? Warren Wiersbe, a theologian, he lays out plainly for us the path and the outcome of these in just these first nine chapters. I want to share with you what he said. I thought it was pretty ingenious. He said the scorner from chapter one goes on to reject wisdom and meets destruction in chapter 1, verse 24 through 27. He listened to folly and received destruction in chapter 6, verse 32. So we're introduced to him. The wisdom is for him. He rejects it, and it doesn't end well for him. Then we have the fool. The fool rejects wisdom, and he's led to death in chapter 8, verse 36. He listened to folly, the lack of wisdom or ignorance, and he receives death in chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The simple. The simple rejected wisdom and went to hell, chapter 9, verse 18. He listened to folly and he ended up in hell in chapter number 7, verse 27. I don't tell you that to get amens. I tell you that to let you see that not only do the writer to the Proverbs here lay out that this is who the wisdom is for, but this is why it is for them, because they choose these paths that lead to their ends, that lead to their destructions. So not only do we get a warning about who it is for, when we find ourselves in those ways, we get the follow-up behind that that says, if you choose to go alternate this, this is what your end is going to look like. And say what you will. You don't have it figured out. You've not beat the system. You're not going to slip into the good life outside of this. In the end, when you choose a path other than wisdom, this is the path that you are on. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, the ways of destruction. Thankfully, we close this section with the understanding that wisdom leads to life. Certainly, we can see the purpose of wisdom, just why King Solomon would want this recorded and shared in these nine introductory chapters. Next, in chapters 10 through 15, we get several chapters of contrast. It's a statement of wisdom, then a statement of ignorance. A statement of wisdom, then a statement of folly or sin. Let me quickly go through these. Let's just take the first verse of each chapter. So get your Bible and go with me. We're going to look really quickly at the first verse of these chapters and see this comparison that leads us up to chapter number 16. So chapter 10, verse 1. Comparison, wisdom or ignorance. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Any parents need to say amen right there? Amen. Chapter 11, verse 1. Look at the comparison. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Chapter 12, verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Can I speak to you generationally on that one? All of us who are adults say to young people, right, love instruction, don't hate reproof. But we reach a level of our adultness, our adulthood, where we feel like we've gotten all that we need in life to make it through the end. This put no time of life on this proverb. It is wise to you if you're 20, if you're 30, if you're 60, or 100. Just don't stop learning. The day you stop learning is the day you start dying. What does it say? Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. It's one thing to say you hate reproof. We're a little more balanced than that, the last proverb, right? We want to say, well, I've just learned as much as I'm going to learn. If you're saying I don't want to learn anymore from the word or from experience or anything else in life, what you're basically saying is I hate reproof. And that's where you fall in that proverb. Chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Again, there's no time put on that. I don't live in my daddy's house anymore, but he did move in next to me. Actually, I moved in next to him. But there are days when he says to me, buddy, I think probably you want to reconsider what you're doing there. You're going the wrong way. What does it say? A wise son hears that instruction, But a scorner heareth not rebuke. And what do the first 9 chapters tell us? If I won't hear my father's instruction, even as an adult, I am on a path to destruction. And sometimes that's simple, like fixing my lawnmower. My dad was out of town the other week, and I decided I'm going to fix my lawnmower myself. He was out of town Monday through Saturday. By Friday afternoon, I was calling Jimmy. Jimmy, come over here. I got a mess. Help me before Daddy gets home. And I'm in my 30s with 4 children. It never stops. And it's much more applicable than just fixing a lawnmower. It's very applicable in spiritual matters, in relational matters with your spouse and your children. Wisdom or ignorance. Verse 14, or chapter 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Do you see in these chapters the comparison contrast? Here's the good way, here's the bad way. Here's the right way, here's the wrong way. Here's the positive, here's the negative. We get that. So the first 9 chapters give us the call to wisdom. Man, you need to be wise. And here's why you need to read these, take these to heart. The next ones give us that comparison contrast. Then from chapter 16 all the way to chapter 31, we get practical wisdom in everyday life situations. Now, we're going to skip all the way to chapter 31. Now, I'm not saying that the rest of these chapters aren't important. I'm saying I don't have enough time, especially on a Mother's Day sermon, to give you something from every single one of these chapters, but I've given you the key to get you there. Now, let's look at chapter 31 together and spend the remainder of our time considering this virtuous woman. This is how the book of the Proverbs closes. A glorious tribute to the godly, dedicated woman who brings honor to God and joy to her family. So all you mothers who are here this morning and you were thinking, when are you going to get around to me? Here you go. This is for you. We thank God for godly mothers, daughters, sisters, wives, men. That was where I told you earlier. Say amen right there. Let me try again. We thank God for godly mothers, daughters, sisters, wives. Amen. That was better. Okay. This chapter of Proverbs describes the virtuous woman. It lists her fine qualities. The first 9 verses talk about her spirituality. Read this with me. Chapter 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. So we have here the king's mother teaching her son to obey the word of God. The most important ministry that mothers and fathers have is the spiritual training of their children. The mother boldly warns her son here, Lemuel, of some of the dangers he will face in life. Sinful companions, strong drink, a temptation to disobey the word of God. Happy is that person who had a God-fearing mother who warned about sin. And happier is the person who heeded mother's warnings of sin. And you don't have to amen me right there. I had a good godly mother, and I'm going to say amen to that one. Amen for mama. Happy is the person who had that. The next 3 verses give us her loyalty. So her spirituality, then her loyalty in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. The 2 key words here are heart and trust, or love and faith in our words. Marriage is a matter of the heart. There must be true love between the husband and the wife. Now, be sure what I mean by true love. I'm talking about Hollywood love, you know. You complete me. That's not what we're talking. I mean, fine, if you say that to your spouse, that's good. I usually say that to my wife when she's in a situation where she doesn't need to be grinning really big and she's up in front of people. I'll get her attention from in the audience, and I'll do that to her and make her grin real big, when she, like while she's singing at a funeral or something, you know. That's no. What kind of love should a man show to his wife? It's simple. The same kind of love that Christ showed the church. Paul said that in Ephesians chapter 5. It was a sacrificial love, a patient love, a suffering love, a tender love, a constant love. There's not a wife in this world who has any problem loving her husband and showing that love when he is loving her in this way. A happy home doesn't just happen. It is not accidental. It comes as a result of hard work, prayer, and real love. And when husbands and wives trust the Lord in each other, there will be happiness and blessings in that home. Verse 13 through 22 talk about this virtuous woman's industry. And if virtuous woman is a new term to you, is a woman full of virtue. Is that all right? That's the same way to say that. We call her the Proverbs 31 lady here. Her industry, verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle. Her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. What is it about this virtuous woman? She is a worker and she is very diligent. Whether it's sewing or cooking or taking care of the children, working in the family business, all of these things are listed here to say to us she faithfully labors. She's diligent. Whether that means she's got to get up early to do her task or stay up late to do her task, she is diligent in her industry. Verse 23 through 26 talk about her modesty. Look at verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Her modesty is not about outward things. She's known for her faithfulness. She wears strength and honor on her inner person. Her mouth shows forth wisdom and kindness. She depends upon spiritual beauty. And then in verse 27 through 31, we see her devotion. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. This is the secret of her life. She fears God and seeks to obey His word. Oh, the practical wisdom of the Proverbs. Seen here specifically in the practical women, the practical wisdom of a woman full of virtue. God Himself praises her by blessing her labors and her life. Her husband and her children also rise up and praise her. Families, too many of us take each other for granted. At our house, we try. We don't do a very good job. Four boys and me. Five boys. and one mom. And so we try to do Mother's Day weekend, you know. We started yesterday morning with let's do stuff for mom that she normally does. One of the sons said to me yesterday, "Now, Dad, Mother's Day is only on Sunday. I don't know why we got to do this all weekend." I said, "Amen, buddy. Amen." What that told me was we don't realize just how much mom does for us. We take each other for granted often too much. Husbands, be an example before your children by openly praising the Lord and praising your wife for the blessings of the home. I think that lack of appreciation in our homes is sinful. Gratitude is a wonderful Christian virtue, and it needs to be cultivated in every home. Well, this is the wisdom of the Proverbs. Not all about mothers, but I wanted to use that particular proverb today for the illustration of practical wisdom we find in the end of the book. So read the Proverbs over and over. Heed the warnings that are there. Operate on the advice that is there. And realize that this is more than just wisdom. This is biblical wisdom. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom of your word. Now, Lord, as we take this time to respond to your word before us, help us to, if nothing more today, say thank you to you for the godly women that you put into our lives. Lord, if there's some here today who have not heeded the call of wisdom to salvation. Help them to do that today. You said in your word, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We pray for salvation. Lord, for those who are here today who are saved, who are Christians, maybe we've not been operating wisely. Maybe we've been choosing other paths, paths of ignorance, paths of folly. Lord, help us today to commit ourselves to the wisdom of the Proverbs and to use them in our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake.